Would you introduce yourselves, please?
Hi there, I am Leah.
And I am Kyle.
And I am Will.
Slothrust.
Wow, that was beautiful. I cried inside. Can you tell?
Oh, we were supposed to sing it.
No, you know, there were no rules. But if you'd like to do a redo, you can. Is there anything you want to do?
Yeah, let's try that.
We did that the other day.
And
it worked out.
Slothrust. We're Slothrust.
You got your Boston. We'll go deeper on that. LA Now, new album called The Pact. Danger Bird Records. What are you amazed that no one ever asks you?
No one's ever asked us how old we are.
I have a question. How old are you?
29.
Wow. And you know why they don't ask you? You hear the silence in the room after that? You hear how well...
Not interesting.
You hear how well that went over? Wah, wah. Okay. So I'm going to add some things. Brookline. Sarah Lawrence. But I don't... Now, did everybody go to Sarah Lawrence? I know two did. Because I know two of
all
you met.
All three.
All three. So I know, Leah, you studied jazz. What did everybody else study?
So Sarah Lawrence has a really interesting music program because it's not a conservatory.
And it ain't Berkeley.
Yeah, it's not Berkeley. So they offer a lot of different types of things to study, and you can study them all at the same time. So all three of us actually studied, you know, anything from jazz theory to post-tonal theory. Will was like doing a hip hop group for a while. Kyle and I played in an improv chamber group. So yeah, that's like... I took orchestration at one point. They have a really, really wide range of cool stuff.
This record, do you feel like, we're going to go deep, but do you feel like this is the record that all this background actually found its way to after all this time?
I think that all of our records have elements of that, but this is the one where we really cut loose in terms of being less concerned about having the record match our stage show. And also utilizing more parts of music and more sonic elements and textures than we have in the past.
So literally it was released yesterday?
Yesterday. We had the covers ready to go. We really like playing covers, and people have always asked for us to release them. There's ones that we've played live before, ones that we have YouTube footage of that we haven't put out. And yeah, we're really down to like hit the studio and put out music and be a pretty constantly moving machine. So it was, I would say it was more about that, but we definitely, after putting that out, had some time that we weren't on the road, and during that time we were able to dig in more to new stuff.
So Billy Bush and Danger Bird Studios. So we'll get into his background in a second, but who chose doing it at Danger Bird?
Well, Danger Bird does have a really great studio, and by utilizing their facility, we were able to spend more time there than we would if we were doing it at a different studio that they did not own.
Got it. So you have a producer. Who connected you with Billy?
Kyle actually found Billy.
Kyle, tell us that story.
Yeah, I kind of found Billy randomly on the internet because I was listening to Against Me and like looked into who had worked on that because I thought the production and like the mixing on it was really good. You know, checked it out and found Billy Bush, who conveniently lives in Los Angeles, which is where we wanted to do the record. And then it turns out our management actually knows him already and has worked with him in the past, so it was pretty easy to get connected from there. But yeah, really liked the work he had done with Against Me and Garbage, and he's also done stuff for like The Offspring, I think, and like I want to say who's the band? Portugal the Man that he was just doing. Yeah, so he's been all over the place and like a lot of really respectable work in a whole bunch of different genres, and he was great about like helping us incorporate new technological elements that we wanted to bring into the recording process.
So we've become the type of band that demos songs a lot of times and tries a lot of different things. We'll try things at different speeds, different arrangements, different vibes. So we had a lot of demos for this record for sure. And what was so cool about Billy is he heard the demos, and as you were saying, how you have appreciation for songwriting, he really heard the songs and I think was able to conceptualize some things that we could do to like really take each song to its limit and like push it to its sonic limit and think
of
them.
So did you push each other? I mean, did you push him at any moment in time versus him pushing you?
I think that we had a really nice balance with him. He's a really gentle and an easy person to work with. He was the right fit for us because the three of us are all really self-directed. And as we said, we demoed the material extensively already, so we kind of knew what we were going for. And what we were looking for is someone with killer ears who knows how to sculpt sound and has a bit of perspective that we don't have because we're so close to the music. And yeah, he's mixed so much stuff. So that's definitely something that made us attracted to him.
Yeah, I mean, we always have really liked making records with different types of songs. And we've been a band that generally tries to like stretch the definition of whatever genre we're in, you know. We'd like to push the boundaries of what's possible for like a three-piece rock band to do. So when we were doing this record, we sort of tried to take that even more extreme than we had in the past. And yeah, some songs are like total ballads, and some songs rock harder than anything else we've ever done.
So Leah, tell me about your adjacent selves.
So a way in which that relates to the record is that for me, I've been writing songs for a very long time at this point. Since I was, you know, as soon as I could speak, I was pretty much singing and writing music. So something that keeps that really exciting to me and makes me want to do it in a different way is thinking about writing songs sort of from the perspective of different versions of myself, or channeling different moments in my life and writing from that perspective and going deeper into that, even if it's not where I'm at in this moment, and kind of embodying these parallel versions of yourself that may or may not ever manifest or maybe previously had. And I like that a lot because it made it so I could have a little bit of distance from the music and distance from the songwriting process.
And how does that then segue into free association?
So automatic writing is something that I've done forever before I had a name for it. It's just always been a really cathartic thing for me to sit and start creating without censoring. That's just the type of writer and the type of artist that I am, is I like to put it all out there, and there's going to be a ton of trash and you have to sort through it and see what works and what translates and what doesn't. And there will be a bunch of stuff you throw away and a bunch of stuff you keep, but what I like so much is that you end up surprising yourself. And I think staying curious about your own mind is sort of one of the most important things you can do to keep making hopefully powerful art.
Red pants, scoliosis, other diseases. I mean, you know, when you really dig in to a song like that, it's not obvious you hear scoliosis in a rock and roll song.
So it's funny that that's the one you brought up, because of all the things in that song, that is the one. That is fiction. That is fiction. I do not have scoliosis. My little sister has scoliosis, though. Yeah, my sister had to wear a back brace for a while growing up. The other things are true, though. I do have bad tinnitus, for instance.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Surprise, surprise, you know.
And then there's Fever Dogs. Embracing beats that are all over the place.
I think Fever Dogs is a good example of that, because we all really like mixed meter stuff and we like playing with time signature. And having songs that have really jerky moments that sort of realign your attention as a listener, because the pocket changes. And yeah, that's something that we all have a lot of fun with, I think.
So when you're putting out things like this, it's kind of like you don't really care about radio play per se. I mean, because you wouldn't be putting things on the record if you did.
Yeah, I think one of the most important things about being in the music business is making sure you always have fun playing music, because it's like why we all got into it in the first place.
How much fun could be playing Whoa, Whoa, Whoa every night?
Exactly.
Being the guy slamming on the 40th band with a drum in the front that somebody's pounding on.
But you make a lot of money, and that's probably fun too. But
yeah.
But not as much fun as playing music with your buds.
So I think that right now making it work as a musician is about figuring out where you want to compromise and what your priorities are. You figure out what's important to you. What is okay for your physical health? What is okay for your mental health? You figure out the right moments in time to make the right type of sacrifices. For a while in New York, I was like floating because we had so many tours. So I like gave up my apartment and was doing that. And then, you know, that was a couple of years ago, and that was the right moment to do that because it made it so we could tour more economically and I wasn't as stressed out. And then now I live somewhere and I live in LA, and that's great. And there's more stability there. But Yeah, it's definitely a roller coaster.
You're never going back to the trash bar.
I think about and talk about the trash bar all the time. It was amazing. It was exactly perfect as what it was.
The dive of all dives, right?
The trash bar, yeah. Yeah, I bartended there for a while, and that was like exactly what that was just like so exactly right for my life at the time. And it was also exactly right for my life for it to close, because it's actually quite hard to quit bartending as a musician, because the money is good and it's reliable, and working at a rock club was fun. It was so, yeah, but it was good that the bar closed, because I needed to close that chapter, move on, and that kind of, you know, inspired me to become more serious about like visual art and just writing in general, and kind of redirect as much focus as possible.
I want to go to that laundromat. That laundromat is really fun. I mean, come on, people levitate in that laundromat.
Magic has kind of been like a theme for us in this record, and it's a little bit of
childhood too, obviously, right?
Childhood always for me, it seems to come back up.
Right.
So.
But is it a combo punch this time of childhood and magic to a certain extent?
Yeah. I
and
mean,
the magic of childhood.
I definitely was I will say I was like definitely a big Peter Pan fan when I was a kid. And it was, we knew that Danger Bird wanted to do a video for it that was going to be a higher production value than some of the previous videos we've done, which have been more with friends. We've had some really great collaborators. But we knew they wanted to try something different for that song. So we were like, all right, cool. Let's do something different. And I wanted to fly. That was like immediately the deal. This is the first video we've done where we were dealing with people we didn't know quite well. Yeah, so this was like total strangers going into it. And we got sent just like a bunch of treatments that a bunch of directors had come up with. And it was, yeah, it was an interesting process. It was a totally, totally new process for us, because normally we collaborate on writing the music videos with a director that we like. We work with our friend CJ a lot. He doesn't live in Florida. He just moved to New York, but we've done stuff in Florida a couple times now. And yeah, it was interesting, like letting go of that control and trying to figure out the right balance of being involved and also like letting the process be what it is. Cause I'm definitely used to micromanaging. So
I think For Robin's a single. It's a pop song, but it's also got all the elements of the band in it.
I was definitely really affected by Robin Williams' death, and he was just someone who brought me a lot of joy as a child. So that was hard. I was actually bartending at the trash bar when that news hit, and it was like crying into gin and tonics for the rest of the night. but I sort of had it in my mind that maybe I should write an entire concept album about him. And then we had sort of talked about that, and it was like, you know, Why not start with a song? And then like definitely the bulk of that song I wrote in Kyle's parents' house on a tour. Yeah, I was in Florida, and a bunch of tour dates had gotten canceled because we were out with a different band. And I was feeling like really unhappy about that, because we had just driven so far. We were in the car for so long, but I guess turned it into something positive. And then we totally like, you know, it came to life in the studio, and we all came up with things to add to it. Kyle wrote those horn parts.
For that track, we were definitely thinking about Bruce Springsteen a lot, and sort of, yeah, sculpting that song into an album similarly to the way that he would and did on a lot of records. And then it was extremely convenient that actually one of the horn players on that song is this guy, Mark Pender, who plays for Bruce all the time and has been for the last couple years or so.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and what it is two of your songs on the outside, and then in between we just go boom 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 boom, and we pick a pile of songs